Good evening and welcome into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdot at C70. With me, as always, David Jones at IPOP Editor. And coming to you from a better week of Cardinal baseball, even if the Cardinals have again lost on Sunday right before we record to make sure that we can't be overly happy. But they did win both series this week. And David, even though the offense has been spotty, I guess would be the nice way of putting it, it still feels like they felt like a better team than what we saw when they got swept by the Brewers.
It's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride, because I would say it was a good week. It was not a great week. And I think today's game would have put it to that great point. And they had many opportunities to win that game, many opportunities to get the sweep, but they didn't. And so I've kind of had to drop it a little bit. But it was a good week. Now, I mentioned to you earlier this week that it felt like in some ways that they were actually doing a whole lot worse than they were because of that 14-1 loss. And you had to remind me that even when you lose 14-1, you only lose one game, even though it feels like everyone should get fired and your season's over. So you talked me off the ledge on that one a little bit. So that was kind of in my mind, but they still won that series, which is hard to believe. They got outscored, but they won the series. Yeah. And we see that with the Mets too. They win the series. I really, really wish they could have gotten a sweep, and they're going to need some sweeps. But I think you have to be happy going on the road to New York and taking 2 out of 3. Even though today didn't go how it should have, I do think you have to be pretty satisfied with that.
Yeah, and I mean, not only 2 of 3, but you get down to your final strike in extra innings. And anytime you go to extra innings on the road, I think you're just, you know, it's really dicey, right? Especially nowadays with the extra runner. Although from what I think I've seen is visiting teams win those games more often than home games do now. I haven't saw that stat float around there somewhere. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but still, it, you know, being that it's not real baseball, I don't know that it matters. But it's interesting to get that close to a sweep. And that, I guess that's what's a little bit frustrating too, right? You go, if you lose in extra innings on the road, you think, okay, well, you had your chances, but that's going to happen. But to be that close to, you know, pulling it out, it got a little bit of a dagger in the heart there, just a little bit.
And it doesn't make it any easier that it was Harrison Bader with the 2-strike hit either. Which, nothing against Harrison Bader, but it's not exactly like you're facing Juan Soto at that point. You're at a guy who's kind of on the downward slide of his career, who's not exactly a tremendous hitter, and you have him right where you want him, and you don't get him. And so that kind of makes it a little more difficult. And then, of course, the walk-off, which Ciani was so close to catching that ball. But yeah, when you get that close to things, it makes it tough. I will say for the Cardinals to not have their best three relievers available, I was still very impressed with what the bullpen did today, even with Liberatore giving up that home run. I mean, he came in and he pitched quite a few innings, and he saved a lot of the bullpen. So I think the bullpen has been tremendous at this point, and one of the highlights, one of the few highlights that we've seen so far this season, but they have been amazing this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that this team is one of the reasons that we feel better about this team than we did last year's team. Because this time last year, you know, I think this time last year the bullpen was probably okay, but hadn't started to feel the strain yet. And then, of course, eventually it became, you know, this, you know, huge dumpster fire. But, you know, now it really is a strength. And it's not a strength that's being overused like it was last year, right, when the starters were leaving after the third or fourth inning. I mean, we're still not seeing a whole lot of, you know, I was a little bit surprised, and I didn't get a chance to watch the game today. I was just, you know, I kind of followed a little bit online and stuff, but by the time I picked it up, it was like the eighth inning or so. I was surprised to see that Lance Lynn only went 5 innings again. Because, you know, that's this idea of for Lance Lynn was to go at least 6, try to go 7. And so far, granted, those early 2 starts had weather issues, but so far he's only gone past the 5th one time. And I know that's not what Lance Lynn wants to see, but I was just surprised, knowing that you don't have your big three, that they didn't maybe try to stretch him out a little bit longer. But, you know, if you get to the pitch levels, you get to the pitch levels.
Right. I was really surprised when I saw them come to take him out. I thought it was just going to be a mound visit. But I guess it maybe at some point you don't want to wear him down. And I will say it seems like the Cardinals have had, I don't want to say a quick hook this year, but when guys have started getting on maybe first and second in a games in the fifth or sixth or something like that, they are pretty quick to get a guy out of the game. And I think in past years, we have been critical of them. I feel like even like Matheny and Schilt, sometimes they were always one batter or two batters too late. And because of that, the Cardinals gave up two runs because of that. It seems like they're being a little more proactive with that this year. And you could argue with not having your big three relievers available today that maybe you need to let Lynn go a little bit longer and try to get through the sixth. But I get it. And I think that especially when you see how Fernandez pitched today and how the rest of the fifth inning, or I guess the sixth inning went today, it seems like the right move. And so I think they're being proactive with that. And I'm okay with that, strangely enough.
Yeah, I think you're right. You definitely, there's no need to let these guys try to work through, especially your third time through and all that. I know you want the innings, but if it's, you know, you hope to get those innings in a game where the Cardinals are up 5-1 or something. And so it's not a big risk if you let them pitch through the sixth, even if they get a runner on. That's not been the case a lot of times because the offense is kind of allergic to that kind of game. But you'd like to see that. It also, I guess we should also point out that the Cardinals seem to have a lot of trust in Matthew Liberatore, and he proved it today. I mean, again, the end of the game, I was surprised that he was out there for the bottom of the 11th after they took the lead. I'm not sure who could have come in. But just because he had already pitched, I think, two innings, it felt like maybe they were trying to stretch him a little bit. But he pretty much did his job, and I think that's interesting that they trusted him to do that.
Yeah, and like you said, I think part of it was because they didn't have many other options left. I think maybe John King could have been the one guy they went to after that, and I'd rather have Liberatore in there. He was pumping some high fastballs in the zone, about 95. It looked like he had his really good stuff today. It, you know, missed his spot on that home run, and that's going to happen time to time, but I think he gave you exactly what you want. And I will say, going along with this whole bullpen narrative, one thing that I have been really surprised by with the Cardinals, I fully expected Giovanni Gallegos would be the eighth inning guy this year. I just thought for sure that, you know, sometimes the Cardinals get a little bit stuck in their ways. You know, this is my guy. This is how we did it before. We're going to do it again. And I thought, okay, here's what they're doing. Seventh will be Romero or might be Kittredge. Eighth will be Gallegos. And ninth will be Helsley. Well, Gallegos has not been the best, or he's not been in the top three of those four pitchers this year so far. I have been very, very surprised that they have moved him out of that role and instead have gone with Romero, Kittredge, and Helsley, which is the right move. They have made the right move in that situation. I'm just really surprised that they've kind of bucked tradition and gone away from one of the guys that's been with the organization for a while in favor of a new pitcher. It has been a great move. I was a little worried seeing Gallegos today. I think we all kind of go up and down when we see him come in. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much as Pallante, but it's there. But he did pitch well. But I think the Cardinals right now have their solid three at the back end of the bullpen. I mean, those guys have all sub-2 ERAs. Kittredge is below one. And then you also have Middleton, who should be back hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think as long as this bullpen doesn't get overtaxed, and right now the starters don't seem to be doing that to them, so as long as they're not overtaxed, I really think that you can see some great things come from them this year.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, you're seeing Ryan Fernandez, who is taking on bigger and bigger roles because of the success that he's had. You know, you kind of start to forget that he's a Rule 5 guy, and you see why the Cardinals were interested in him. They brought Robertson up this week, and I haven't seen how he's done. But again, I think that's an interesting arm to add out there. And like you said, Middleton hopefully will be back soon. It feels like, you know, yeah, you don't want these guys getting overused, but it does feel like there's so many arms out there that you trust that you don't have to go to the 1-2-3s every time. You know, or at least you don't have to go to those guys when you're trying to keep a game close, right? If you're one game behind, you don't feel like you need to pull out a Kittredge just to keep it close. You can use Ryan Fernandez and save Kittredge for if they take the lead, or, you know, give him a rest. And I hope that with this higher quality bullpen, they mean that they don't feel like they have to use some guys at certain times, but that will help them not burn out, and they'll not have to overuse anybody. I know that Ryan Helsley has been in every game the Cardinals have won so far, and they haven't won one without him. But I also don't know that we've gotten to the point where anybody's being overused by innings. At least I haven't seen any reference to it.
Yeah, it's nice when you see Helsley come in on back-to-back days and he's hitting 101 on day two, and he looks like he's fired up and ready to be out there. That's really cool to see. His stuff still has bite on it. I mean, he looks healthy and looks good. But yeah, you do hope it would be nice to see the Cardinals get some of these 7-0 wins or something like that. Like the other day, Saturday against the Mets, they had a 6-0 lead. You can't let that get to 6-4 and not score again, which I think they scored one more, 7-4.
Yeah.
But that's one of those games. If you get a 6-0 lead, you need to make it bigger. Make it 8-0 or hold it to 6-0 or 6-1, 6-2 and let those guys actually rest. But what happened was you get a 6-0 lead. An error gets made by Nolan Arenado. Sonny Gray gives up a couple hits. Next thing you know, it's 6-4 and you're having to go to your high leverage guys. And so that's hopefully where maybe in the next week against Detroit or the red hot White Sox, maybe the Cardinals can get some of these big leads, but that's where your offense has to come through. This is where the offense actually affects the bullpen, because if you can get some of these 10-2 games, then you're putting John King in there, maybe the 8th or 9th, and not having to use your other guys. So yeah, it's kind of one big circular cycle thing going on here with how rotation affects the bullpen and how the lineup affects everything, but they need more offense so they can actually save the bullpen.
Yeah. We've seen some flashes here and there. You know, there's been a home run or two here. You know, the Cardinals did score 7 in the game on Saturday, but overall they're still sputtering. And Jordan Walker gets sent down in part because of his struggles, in part because of everybody else's, I think. And there's not just a whole lot of bright spots. You know, Nolan Arenado's hitting some, but he's not really hitting for power, which is kind of what you need from a guy that's hitting 4th. I don't know. Again, I don't know where you do with it, right? I mean, except for try to wait it out, because there's not like you can do a whole lot of roster churn like you could in a misfiring bullpen.
Yeah, I think you could point to Contreras and maybe Wynn and say those are the only two guys who are probably performing where they need to be right now. We've seen some things come along from other players. We see some, you know, shot in the dark every once in a while from Gorman. Burleson has shown some things, but few guys are putting it together consistently right now. Herrera has really cooled off. Maybe Goldschmidt's getting back to where he was, but somebody, and maybe not just somebody, we need some people to step up, not even to just go on a tear, but just to put up their normal career numbers. And I think if that can happen, if the bullpen keeps doing what it's doing, if the rotation keeps doing what it's doing, this team can put together some nice wins and win some more series, get some sweeps. But unless that offense gets going, unless the wheels get turning, this team is going to struggle if they're only scoring 3 or 4 runs each game. And right now, I mean, the best we're getting is 5 for the most part. They've got to start doing more than that.
Yeah. And I mean, this team was designed for that. The team was designed for enough offense or enough pitching to get by, a bullpen to keep whatever lead you had, and an offense to go out and score 6 or 7 runs. So you didn't have to worry about Lance then giving up 4 or whatever the case might be, because you were going to win that ballgame. And that's not what we're seeing. And it is, given the fact that there were some issues last year with the offense too, although not to this degree, you do start to wonder, is there you don't really want to start advocating for coaching changes, but you do wonder if there's something that could be a different approach or something that needs to be brought to these guys to try to unlock something. Because right now this is a painful struggle. I mean, you go 11 innings today and it took you all 11 to get that second run. That's just not, you should be able to get, a bloop and a blast here and there and get 2 runs in 1 swing instead of taking 11 innings.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my 5-year-old. He hit his first home run of his career on Thursday night. Very exciting. But of course, you know, in Little League, when you're 5 years old, a home run looks like a normal ball with about four errors on the play.
Right.
And sometimes it feels like that's what the Cardinals need to score these days. We've mm-hmm. talked about it before. They need catcher's interference. They need hit by pitch. They need a balk. They need an error or two and things like that to kind of get the merry-go-round going to get runners home. And they're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark. I think they're still second to last in the majors right now, which is pretty pitiful considering the roster that they put together. That just shouldn't happen. And I don't think it's just a coincidence that they're all struggling. I think it has to do with an organizational philosophy. But as I've said on previous shows, I don't know if there's a switch you can flip. Do you just start telling guys, well, let's be more aggressive on the first pitch? I mean, if it's something as simple as that, maybe. But if it's how you're actually swinging the bat, how you're approaching the pitches, how you're watching the ball, that stuff you don't fix overnight. That stuff you basically fix over seasons. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that there's some philosophy that's in place here that may actually take a long time to fix, and it cannot just be fixed in season.
Unfortunately, you have overstated the case. The Cardinals are now tied for last in home runs with the White Sox, that juggernaut that we're going to see here pretty soon. And they're four behind the next closest teams, which ironically is the Colorado Rockies as well as the Miami Marlins. So, yeah, this is, I mean, 18 home runs is what this team has. And what's the leader here? Mookie Betts? No, let me sort this again real quick. Yeah, Mike Trout has 10, so by himself. We're getting back to Whitey Ball days almost to some degree. Nobody else is playing that way.
Yikes. Do you remember when Mark Whitten hit four home runs in a game?
I do.
Can you imagine if a Cardinal hit two home runs in a game? Like, we would be losing our minds.
Well, Gorman, yeah, because Gorman did that once earlier this year, right?
Did Contreras do it in San Diego, or were those just back-to-back games?
I think that was back-to-back games. Back-to-back games. Gorman did two, but, you know, he's only got, what, four now? Five, maybe? I mean, it's just not there on any kind of consistent level. Thought maybe the return of Lars Nootbaar would help trigger something, and Lars has done okay, but it hasn't obviously, you know, been the match to light the offense. And I just don't know. I mean, maybe they need to figure out, if you can't hit home runs, you need to figure out something else, right? Because they're not. I have to pull this up real quick, but I feel like they're not very high. They're not real high up at stolen bases either. And that's, you know, it doesn't feel like they're necessarily generating offense. If you're sitting around waiting on a home run, that's probably not going to happen here. Yeah, Cardinals have 12 stolen bases, which is tied for 24th with a few other teams. I don't know what that answer is, because there are obviously some guys on this team that don't need to run. But, you know, then again, what, today they had a safety squeeze to score a run, so maybe Whitey Ball is back.
Yeah, but part of Whitey Ball was actually getting guys on base, too. And that's what we're not seeing right now. Just, you know, they're winning games, and sometimes you look at the box score, and it's like they have five hits, and you wonder, how in the world did they even score runs to win this game? We're not seeing games where this team comes out with 12 hits or anything like that. And when they do get guys on, they're stranding them in scoring position. So, yeah, if they're not going to hit home runs, it would at least be nice if they were putting the ball in the gap. And if they're not putting the ball in the gap, it would be at least be nice if they got on first and took off for second and could actually steal a base. But we're really not seeing much of that at all. It's just still a very bland offense. It's much of what we saw last year. It started very slow. We were wondering, when's it going to come along? And we kept thinking, well, surely it has to figure itself out. And then it would for a little while, and then it would go back to where it was, and then sometimes we'd see some life, and then it would kind of go back, and then before you knew it, they're 10 games below 500, the season's halfway over, and we realize this team's not making the playoffs. So it needs to come alive soon, because my fear is that the rotation cannot keep this pace that it's going with right now. I would say four of the five starters are giving you about what you would expect and what you'd want at this point. But they're going to falter at some point. And so we need this offense to really start showing up, because you need to win those games, those 8-6 games when the rotation's not quite right. You need to win those 10-8 games when the bullpen falters a little bit. Right now, the offense just doesn't have the power to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that the podcast bump is working pretty well for Kyle Gibson right now. And he's been probably the most reliable pitcher that the Cardinals have had outside of Sonny Gray. But again, you're right. You don't expect him to throw a lot of one-run, six-inning games. You know, hopefully he does, but there's, you know, that's not necessarily what they thought they were getting. The six innings, yes. The one run, probably not, when they signed him. Again, Lance Lynn, you know, we saw Steven Matz get beat up this week. We'll see how he does rebounding from that kind of shelling. You do wonder. I kind of wrote about it a little bit subsequently, that there are some numbers that don't necessarily make you excited about the going forward, but there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors on some of these guys. And yeah, you're right. You've got to have the offense that's there. So when the smoke clears a little bit, there's still ways to win ball games, and it's not there yet. I mean, will it turn around? You know, I haven't heard the ball's going to start jumping when it gets warm, you know, the trope yet, but you know, maybe that's what it's going to take.
Maybe it's the jerseys. Maybe the jerseys are so bad, it's just affecting the Cardinals more than any other team. And this recent announcement that they're going to be changed is going to fix it. I don't know. Now, I will say one thing that I think will help, and it's not going to necessarily change the power, but they've said that Dylan Carlson will probably go to Memphis Tuesday or Wednesday to begin a rehab assignment. Whatever he can give them when he comes to the team is going to be better than what they're getting in center field. Victor Scott II, Michael Ciani, they have really struggled with the bat. Just they have not really done anything. And so whatever Carlson gives you has to be better than what you're getting. I may bite my tongue and bite my words there. I don't think that's going to be the case, because I think if he hits 150, he's outdoing them. But I think you're going to have – right now, it has felt like there's this glaring hole in the nine spot, that if you have runners on base – you can, and there's two outs and the nine spot comes up, just forget about it. Just, you know, that's the end of the inning. So that's going to help a little bit, but that's not going to help the guys in the 1-6 position start hitting the ball out of the ballpark. That just gives you a better chance of maybe getting a guy on before the lineup comes back around, or maybe some driving some runs in. But it's not going to be like, he's not going to be the savior of the offense at this point. We don't even know how healthy he is. I think it should help some, but like you said, if other teams are hitting the ball out of their ballparks and out of other teams' ballparks, the Cardinals don't have any excuses right now for why they're not doing it. They're just failing to execute.
Yeah, and they're even running out of that whole, you know, tough part of the first season, you know, excuse, right? I mean, they've done pretty well against the Diamondbacks, or at least put up, you know, one game, so they don't necessarily put up a lot of runs. But, you know, the Mets are a good team. But, you know, the Tigers, the White Sox, you know, even when they went out to Oakland, they should have been able to score against Oakland, and they averaged, what, 3 runs a game out there. If they're not going to put runs up this week against the teams that they're seeing, you just got to wonder if they ever are going to, because there's not too many other weaker links on the schedule than especially the White Sox. So, you know, I hate, you know, you hate to think that This is a big week for them when you're turning it into May, but it does feel like if something doesn't happen this week, is it ever going to happen?
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair to think, because now Detroit is better. Detroit is over 500. They have been better than the Cardinals this year, but you look at their roster, they're not just absolutely tremendous. So the Cardinals, you've got to win 2 of 3 there. You definitely can't get
swept. Especially
when
you're not facing the race.
Yeah, exactly. Then they get the White Sox at home. And yeah, the White Sox have been hot lately. But, and I say lately, like this weekend, and that's been about it. But you get them at home. You've got to beat those guys. And then you get the Mets at home, a team you just took 2 of 3 from, probably should have swept, and you get them at home. Then it gets tough. I mean, then you're talking going on the road to Milwaukee, going on the road to Anaheim. You get Boston and Baltimore at home, Cubs at home, things like that. So it's going to get a lot more difficult. this is your chance right now to make up a lot of ground. They've got 9 games where they need to at least go 6-3, maybe 7-2. That's probably asking too much. 6-3 may be more reasonable, but you really need to go 6-3 in these games and get back in it. 4.5 out right now. At one point it was 6, so they've actually started crawling up in the standings a little bit, but they need to make a run when the schedule is going to be a little bit easier, because things are going to get difficult very soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it does help that, you know, they're only like 2 games out of third, right? So if they could get a little bit of traction, you know, they could move up those standings fairly quickly, and it would be just nice to not be in last place for, you know, more than a day. Because it's been a long time since the Cardinals have done that. So yeah, I think it's huge to get this stuff. And you know, it's possible that hey, if you go 6-3 in these series, you know, maybe that's enough that kind of gets the momentum going and some things start to click. I don't know, but something kind of needs to. Now we kind of blipped over. Yeah, the big news of the week, which was Jordan Walker being demoted to AAA. What were you thinking there? I mean, when that came through, what were your thoughts there?
Well, I had been out of town, and so I had been off all social media for a little while, had not been able to watch too much. And so I was not aware of this until I was driving back and listening to the game on Wednesday, and they had mentioned it. And I was a little bit surprised, but at the same time, I was kind of wondering if it was happening, because he just could not continue in the way that he was doing. It seemed like last year all over again, where he was driving the ball into the ground. There was no lift on his swing. I think going back to Memphis will do him well, because when it happened last year, they tweaked his swing just a little bit to get a little more with that ball in the air. I guess maybe his launch angle or whatever it was, but there was just enough of a tweak so that he started putting the ball in the air and elevating it. I'm hoping that's what they can do again. I feel like this year, it's much like it was last year. We're seeing them just go away, away, away with him. Teams are hitting him with off-speed stuff, and he's really struggling with it. Really just kind of guessing at what he's swinging at, and they kind of have his number. Kind of similar to how Paul Goldschmidt was at the beginning of this year. Just go off speed, go away, and you can get him chasing. So I hate it for Walker. Some of these baseball card sites that I'm a part of and groups and things like that, people are already talking about, okay, does this mean he's a bust? But these same people are also asking if Jackson Holliday's a bust because he was sent back to AAA. These guys are young. We forget how young they are, that they went through the minors so fast. And yet, the biggest jump in baseball is always from AAA to the majors. It is such a huge jump. And these guys, I mean, these guys could still be in college at this point. Jackson would be early in college, Jordan towards the end of college, but they could still be in college. They still have a lot of the game to learn. And so that jump is so humongous between AAA and the majors that I think he's going to be okay. I think it may take some time. And I think people may get frustrated because his growth may be a little slower and happening right now than what we saw at the beginning, but I still believe that he's going to be a great player.
Yeah. And Ben Godard and I talked about this on Meet Me at Mutual last night. And he pointed out exactly what you're talking about, how young these guys are and how, you know, we seem to expect these prospects, especially highly touted prospects, to just come up and set the world on fire. Cause we've seen some players do that. But there's so many that don't, right? It takes some time to get connected up. I mentioned this last night. It's something that continues to stick with me a little bit. But I just wonder, you know, if the Cardinals had not, you know, gotten all excited about his first half of spring training last year and let him spend at least a couple months at AAA, if that wouldn't have laid a better foundation for him, that maybe he wouldn't be, you know, kind of struggling now. Who knows? I mean, he did play well in the second half in St. Louis, so you wouldn't have expected this kind of, backsliding, if you will, to happen this year. But still, I just wonder if he'd been and just had a little bit firmer foundation, a little bit more time of development, if things would have been gone a little bit better. But because we see what happened with Mason Wynn and a little bit, you know, getting the months of time at Memphis that he has, and he's played pretty well, pretty consistently this year. You know, that being said, different people, different things, and development never goes in a straight line. So it's really hard to tell. But, you know, I do wonder if the Cardinals are a little bit like wondering if they did the right thing by letting him start last year.
I think that is a very valid argument, and I think you're completely right. One thing that I really remember about last spring training, not this previous one, but 2023, is he started off really hot. He was crushing the ball, mashing the ball, hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But the second half of spring training, he really went on a slide, and he really struggled. I want to say he hit maybe 200 or around there for the second half, if not less than that. But the Cardinals still decided to bring him up. And that to me, at the time, I was kind of had an uneasy feeling about it, because you think, okay, maybe he'll figure it out. But what are the chances that a guy figures it out at the major league level when he struggled in spring training? And so I really do think they got enamored with him and his talents and got ahead of themselves. And then we saw what happened. And I think that if they're not careful, he could potentially get put on the same path as Jordan Hicks, where you love the guy's physical makeup and what he has the potential to do, that you forget about actually what you need to teach him how to do, because he's still in some sense learning the game. The guy was drafted out of high school, so he's been learning on the fly with the Cardinals, but he's younger than Chase Davis. Chase Davis is 22. Jordan Walker is still only 21. So Jordan Walker is younger than the Cardinals' first round draft pick last year. So that tells me he still has plenty of room to learn, to grow. He may still be coming into his body, which is hard to believe because Jordan Walker looks like he's about 36, but he is still only 21 and he is growing. He talked about growing this offseason, possibly growing another inch. So he's still growing into his body, putting on muscle. There's still a lot there that needs to develop. I think he's close. I think he's very close. I mean, being at AAA at the age of 21 is still amazing. But it's still going to take just a little bit of time. But yeah, you're right. I wonder if the Cardinals did him a disservice by bringing him up last year, whereas a full season in AAA or maybe even a half season in AAA may have had him better prepared for last year and then this year going forward.
Yeah. Of course, then you got to figure, as the way last year went, if he goes to Memphis, people are wondering, why isn't Jordan Walker up? Because the team's terrible and we need Jordan Walker to be up. And I don't know that they win either way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But that's typical for the front office, right? I mean, I think there's times where, you know, there are times where they mess up. There's no doubt about it. But there are times where it does not matter what they do. They're going to get kind of – they got a good chance of getting reamed one way or the other. And I think that could have been the case. You know, from a – now, you don't want them making PR moves. You want them making good baseball development moves. And I don't know if that's the case. Now, you're right. This felt like a situation where this year he needed to go down. But I got to say, first, when you get first blush on that, it does still feel like some of the moves that we saw last year where they were kind of flailing around trying to get things to stop, right? They're trying to get things to do better by, you know, I still remember the Taylor Motter getting waived. And as soon as he cleared waivers, he was added back to the 40-man and brought it back up because somebody got hurt. And it's like, do you really even know what you're doing here? Or are you just trying for anything? And I don't think that's why Walker went down here, but like I said, first glance, it just had that feel.
Yeah, this one seems a little more calculated. Last year, there was some craziness that went on. I mean, when you had three catchers and then the Cardinals were moving Contreras to left field, but then they weren't anymore, but you still had three catchers and they weren't playing one of them. And yeah, there was all of that craziness going on that even had that had nothing to do with what was going on the field. This move with Walker, it feels like it just needed to be done. I think he was just going to continue to struggle in the outfield. And when you need to win games, you need to win games. His defense looks a whole lot better, and he was making some great plays out there. But when the Cardinals don't have a center fielder who can hit right now, you also can't have a right fielder who can't hit right now. And I think this honestly is the best move for his career and also the team. And so I don't have any issue with it. And from what I've read, I don't see many people in the media having much of an issue with it, except those people that, you know, if you look only at exit velocity and see that a guy's pounding the ball into the dirt at, you know, 114 mm-hmm. and saying, well, that's proof why you should be up. Well, you're not looking at the big picture. And there are a few people out there that look at that and only that, but that's not the case. I mean, he's just not driving the ball right now, and he's struggling with pitches at the plate. So I think Memphis gives him a little less of a spotlight, more of a chance to work on his fundamentals. And I think we'll see a different player when he finally comes back up.
Yeah, hopefully so. And again, I think this is one of those things that maybe if their whole team's clicking, then they don't have to do this. They can do it at the major league level, but or we're not too concerned about it. But the fact that nobody was hitting, as you say, kind of just put it in a spotlight that you can't handle that. And then, I mean, he's one of the few guys that can go down to Memphis to work on stuff. Most of these guys can't. So do it. And let's see. And hopefully it's just a couple weeks, maybe a month. And like you said, he comes back with a much, much stronger results. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all I got on that.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you were going to say something, and I was like, well, whatever you're going to say is going to be better than anything that I'm going to say, so I was going to let you do it. So
I was just going to agree. Good point. Well,
so, you messed up. Okay. So
I didn't realize you could hear me open my mouth.
I mean, when you do that, and you've done this as long as I have, you got to get the feel for this kind of stuff, I guess.
I'm actually wondering if you have cameras in the room or something right now. That's a little creepy how quickly you jumped on that.
You know, the ebb and flows of podcasting that everybody's very excited about now that they've made it this far into the show. All right. So hopefully the Cardinals are back to 500, if not better, next week. By the time we get back to you, and we have a lot more exciting things to talk about. But until then, for David, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Now Rowland with a chance to give the Cardinals a lead for the first time tonight, which he does. Is it gone?